A Trump-backed VA bill making it easier to fire Veterans Administration workers is being spun by the GOP as real accountability for the Veterans Administration. Already passed by the House, the VA Accountability First Act of 2017 undermines and weakens collective bargaining for VA workers, stripping them of real due process grievance procedures. Jackie Simon is policy director for the American Federation of Government Employees.
All many, many Democrats and Republicans care about is make it easy to fire. Fire, fire, fire. That's what it's all about. We're hoping that the firing of James Comey for obviously political reasons to cover up wrongdoing or alleged wrongdoing reminds people that that kind of thing goes on at much lower levels as well. If you don't have civil service protections, if you don't have the protection of a union contract.
The VA bill is being spun as a way to better protect military veterans, but the not-so-hidden extra agenda in this bill is an attack on VA workers and their due process grievance rights when it comes to firing or other workplace discipline.
The House firing bill for VA workers took away collective bargaining rights altogether. It explicitly prohibited anybody's ability to use the grievance and arbitration provisions of their collective bargaining agreement to appeal a demotion, a suspension, a firing. That came through the administration.
AFGE President David Cox Sr. is testifying before Congress Wednesday on what his union is calling the VA firing bill.
Let's be smart on crime, because just being tough on crime isn't always the right decision.
Former Utah U.S. Attorney Brett Tolman says new orders from Trump's Attorney General Jeff Sessions telling federal prosecutors to seek the harshest possible charges ignores decades of criminal justice learning in the U.S. Among the lessons learned that apparently have escaped Sessions is that warehousing huge numbers of people in prison for long, harsh sentences isn't the most effective way of fighting crime. And Tolman says the Sessions order tightening the harsh sentence screws for federal crimes will increase the racial inequality in the U.S. criminal justice system.
While it affects all cross-sections of the United States, it has a deeper and a wider effect on our inner cities, in our poor, and in our minority communities. It ignores decades of learning that we've done on the issue. We have seen that you cannot prosecute and incarcerate our way out of the drug problem.
Brought to you by Union Active, your certified iOS and Android mobile app developer, offering high-quality, union-made mobile apps backed by a support team which upgrades your product to every new mobile operating system. Features, pricing, and examples are online at unionactive.com.
You've been listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
You're tuned to WFHB.
91.3
and 98.1 FM.
Volunteer powered,
listener supported.
Community radio for South Central Indiana.
Welcome to WFHB's Daily Local News.
Written and produced entirely by volunteers from the Bloomington community.
And supported by the generosity of listeners like you.
Good afternoon from the studios of Community Radio 91.3 FM, reporting live for WFHB. This is Don Guerra.
And I'm Leah Carter. This is the Daily Local News for Tuesday, May 16th, 2017.
It's scary to think about, like, if my parents were deported or if my siblings were, then I would be the one to take care of my younger siblings here.
We hear about efforts to protect undocumented students at Indiana University coming up later in the show in today's WFHB Community Report.
Also coming up in the next half hour, we hear about the Chronic Pain Support Group. On Everyday People, a weekly segment aimed at improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County. But first, these local headlines.
High levels of ground-level ozone prompted the Indiana Department of Environmental Management to declare today and yesterday as Air Quality Action Days for several counties in Indiana, including Monroe. Air Quality Action Days are forecast in advance by the department, otherwise known as IDEM. The IDEM monitors fine particulate matter, such as dust, soot, and smoke particles, and predicts when the levels are likely to spike and cause health impacts. A combination of sunlight and hot weather bake gasoline vapors, factory emissions, and vehicle exhaust into the ground. Tuesday's levels in Monroe County reached an air quality index value somewhere between 101 and 150, or what the Environmental Protection Agency determines to be, quote, unhealthy for sensitive groups, unquote. The IDEM encouraged people affected by lung or heart conditions to avoid exertion and heavy labor. Children and elderly people were also urged to take precautions. Last year, the IDEM issued its first Air Quality Action Day on May 24th, which was 9 days later than this year's. To keep ozone levels down, the IDEM encourages people to conserve energy. Conservation methods include using public transportation or biking, avoiding drive-throughs, and not using excessive energy at home.
The city of Bloomington is asking its residents to pick out new garbage and recycling containers ahead of the rollout of automated trash pickup later this year. Households will have three containers to choose from, 35, 64, and 96 gallons. Each household will receive one container for trash and one container for single-stream recycling. It will not be necessary to separate glass or metals from the recycling. A monthly fee will be attached to the regular city utility bill to replace the current trash ticket system. That fee will depend on the size of the container. The 35-gallon containers are between $4.80 and $6.50. The large 96-gallon containers are between $13.70 and $18.50 per month. The 64-gallon containers are the default size, with a cost between $8.60 and $11.60 per month. Residents who wish to use 64-gallon containers do not need to take any action. However, anyone who wants the smaller container or the larger container will need to fill out a form and send it to the Department of Public Works. All residents currently receiving city sanitation services will receive a form in the mail. The deadline for choosing a container size is June 18th. The final rates for trash pickup will be determined in a Public Works meeting in late July, and delivery of the new containers will take place in the fall. The containers are specifically designed to work with new trucks the city is purchasing to replace its existing fleet. The new trucks are equipped with an automated arm that will pick up the containers and empty them into the back of the truck. Standardized containers are required for the system to function properly. Residents who want to see the new containers before making a decision can stop by City Hall, and containers will also be on display at the Saturday Farmers Market.
The Indiana Attorney General's office is sending letters to 2,400 Hoosiers who are eligible to have their student loans canceled. Former students of for-profit universities owned by Corinthian Colleges will be able to apply to Department of Education to have their loans placed in forbearance and eventually refunded. Corinthian, which went bankrupt in 2015, owned schools under several brands including Everest, Hailed, and Wyotech. The company collapsed after several states and the federal government obtained billions of dollars in judgments against them for misleading students. Corinthian fabricated post-graduation employment statistics, lied about which credits would transfer to other schools, and used high-pressure sales tactics to get students to enroll. The bankruptcy filing and sudden closing of campuses came as a surprise to tens of thousands of students around the country. Many were only part of the way through their degree programs. Corinthian students who were attending when the school closed in 2015 are eligible for loan relief, as well as many students attending between 2010 and 2014. Applications are available through the Department of Education. And the department has advised students to continue making loan payments in the meantime, as there may be a delay processing applications. Any payments made on an eligible loan will be refunded. The application process is free and is only handled through the Department of Education. Indiana Deputy Attorney General Tamara Weaver says that former Corinthian students who haven't received letters should still contact the Department of Education.
So anybody who attended any of the Corinthian colleges, whether it was one of their locations in Indiana or their online program, should double check with the U.S. Department of Education. They have links specifically to programs and eligibility dates for when a student was enrolled. So there's the possibility that our review of the data may have missed some individuals, so they should double-check that. They should also check, even if they attended one of the Corinthian schools that didn't close, because if there are certain allegations of fraud or deception that they have on their end, they may not have shown up on our list, but they still could be eligible for federal student loan relief.
Unfortunately for many students, loan forgiveness is generally not available for private loans. Forgiveness is only available for federal loans granted by the Department of Education. Corinthian operated an in-house private loan service called Genesis, which was marketed to students as a way to pay expenses that federal loans didn't cover. A class action suit was brought by Genesis servicing companies, but a judge ruled against the plaintiffs earlier this year. The loan agreements included a clause mandating that any disputes be handled through private arbitration. The Obama administration passed a regulation last year barring that practice, but President Trump may seek to reverse that rule. Indiana does have a separate application process available through the Commission for Higher Education for students to potentially seek relief from private loans borrowed to pay for tuition at Corinthian colleges. That information can be found at in.gov/CHE.
At a meeting of the Bloomington Utilities Service Board last night, board member Jeff Amon questioned the reason for a $20 million jump in the city of Bloomington's personnel budget over the past 5 years. In 2012, the budget was $18 million. That number is now up to $38 million per year. Controller Jeff Underwood said the city has only recently been able to grow its personnel budget after shedding many positions during the national economic downturn.
We finally have seen some, increase in revenues and the economy, where tax collections are going back up, that we're going to be able to do some of those projects that we haven't been able to. From a personnel standpoint, it's been relatively zero to no growth since that time. But the demand we're busting at the seams. So yeah, you guys are no different than we are. You got a lot more work than you got people to do them.
Last night, the Utilities Board approved a $1.85 million interdepartmental agreement between the city and the Utilities Department. Underwood said he expects that the interdepartmental agreement will be amended in the future, partly because of the city's plan to automate its sanitation services. The Utilities Department has agreed to handle the Sanitation Department's billing. Underwood said the true cost of adding that service will not be known immediately.
The city and the utilities are committed to making sure that the Utilities Department is made whole for any costs, and that would be materials as well as personnel. And we would anticipate that we'll probably be on a every 6-month cycle for that, just because as we get more actual numbers, we want to make sure that we get it adjusted, to make sure that it's an equitable reimbursement.
The board also approved a 20-year contract to supply water to the town of Ellettsville. The contract states the town will purchase a minimum of 2 million gallons of water each month. The utility department's finance director, Efrat Pfefferman, said the town currently averages about 26 million gallons a month. She said Ellettsville has reduced its usage rate since 2012 by reducing its water waste. The contract also states the town cannot buy water from another source except in the event of drought or other emergency. In addition to the town of Ellettsville, the city sells water to 9 other entities, including the town of Nashville and Indiana University.
Monroe County officials are looking for ways to streamline their telecommunications costs. In their May 12th meeting, commissioners approved hiring the Carmel-based IT firm TrueWorks LLC for a telecommunications audit. Technical Services Director Eric Evans outlined 3 ways he says the audit will help the county.
As you know, last year we went through a pretty substantial project where we moved our landlines over from what's called an on-premises voice over IP system to an AT&T hosted VoIP system. At the end of that process, we decided it was probably appropriate to bring in a third party to perform an audit to make sure that A, we're getting what we're paying AT&T for, B, make sure that we don't have any circuits that we're paying for that we don't need anymore, and then C, help us document all our different telecommunication lines that we have coming in.
Evans said TrueWorks will also help the county negotiate a better rate with AT&T. Commissioners also approved a grant of easement from Indiana Limestone. County Attorney Margie Rice says that securing the easement is part of creating a new recreational trail in the county.
We've been working with Indiana Limestone and Texicon for more than a year to try to develop permission to cross their property with a future recreational trail. It will connect to the B line, head south on what the county now owns, the Indiana Railroad Corridor, and it will take recreational trail users across a field that's owned by Indiana Limestone, south of Texicon's property, on Fluck Mill, and then head south of Fluck Mill on the CSX corridor that Indiana Limestone owns.
However, Indiana Limestone has identified a large amount of high-quality limestone in the Indiana Railroad Corridor, which they would like to continue to mine. Rice said the Parks Foundation owns that part of the Indiana Railroad Corridor, but is willing to allow it to be mined.
So we've agreed with them that the foundation will quitclaim the corridor to Texicon eventually when we get that approved, which will probably be at your next meeting. And today, you guys will approve, they'll quitclaim to Indiana Limestone the corridor, and today you'll approve an easement that allows us to cross Indiana Limestone's property elsewhere in a place that's more suitable for a trail.
In other county news, planner Jordan Yank briefed the commissioners on Bike to Work Day events planned for Friday, May 19th. Yankee said the event not only promotes biking, but also educates drivers on how to safely share the road with cyclists.
This year, it's in conjunction with IU and the City of Bloomington that we're hosting several Bike to Work Day stations the morning of the 19th. The counties will be right outside the courthouse here. The cities will be in front of Hopscotch on the B line, and the IU's station will be in front of Sample Gates. The time is 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m., so feel free to stop by and get a coffee or any other handouts that you would like.
Yankee also said the City of Bloomington is hosting a Bike to Work Day block party. Grant Street will be closed between Kirkwood and 6th Street from 4 to 7 p.m. on the 19th for the event. Reporting live for WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. The Daily Local News is brought to you by MPI Solar, a Bloomington business specializing in solar hot water, solar electricity, and solar hot air systems. MPI Solar designs and installs solar power generation systems that encourage independence and individual responsibility. Found locally at 812-334-4003 and on the web at mpisolarenergy.com.
Indiana University students continue to ask the university to implement new initiatives to help support undocumented students. Reporter Jessica De La Cruz brings us this story about UnDocu Hoosiers Bloomington and its effort to protect undocumented students. We have changed the name of one source in this story. The source, identified here as Tori Santos, is an undocumented student. This story airs as part of a partnership between WFHB and a community journalism class at the IU Media School taught by Professor Michael Conway.
Since the beginning of President Trump's administration, there has been fear among undocumented communities. For students in college, the fear varies from not being able to attend school anymore or even being separated from their families. Second-year PhD student and UnDocu Hoosier Bloomington member Tori Santos says she fears that the DACA program might be removed by the current president.
My siblings right now have DACA, so the biggest thing with them is they're scared that and at any moment that it'll be taken away because it is an executive order. So it's, you know, Congress doesn't need to approve whether the president decides to get rid of that executive order or not.
DACA, also known as Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, was an executive order implemented by President Obama in 2012. This order protected certain individuals who were brought to the U.S. as children from deportation in increments of 2 years at a time. Santos' older sister works at a stock market firm, while her brother is a paramedic. If the DACA program were to be removed, her siblings would lose their employment authorization and would not be able to work in the U.S. According to La Casa director Lillian Casillas, there are currently 11 DACA students enrolled at IU Bloomington. DACA recipients are eligible to pay in-state tuition.
The fear that also DACA being able to claim in-state tuition, which, you know, still very expensive, but it's half, you know, going from 40-some thousand to 20-some thousand.
For DACA recipient Melissa Cardenas, a junior at IUPUI, the program has helped her pursue a higher education. Although DACA allows students to work, it does not make them eligible to receive federal or state funding to pay for their education.
Going to college was my idea. It was something that was really expected of the family. But once I started applying, I knew that I had to keep in mind the price and stuff because being DACA, like, you don't get a lot of you don't get any federal aid. And it's really rare to get scholarships sometimes coming out of high school.
Cárdenas was born in Tala, Jalisco, in Mexico. She was brought to the United States when she was 4 years old because her dad got a job here.
We stayed because we had great opportunities.
According to Cárdenas, her biggest difficulty as a DACA recipient has been finding scholarships to fund her education. But at IUPUI, she has felt supported by the school and has oftentimes received help looking for scholarships she qualifies for. The Undoco Hoosiers Bloomington is a student group that formed to support the needs of undocumented students concerning education or immigration matters. Undoco Hoosiers Bloomington member, freshman Olivia Rusk, explains the group's aim to assist in any way necessary.
The main goal is to make undocumented students and people as a whole be able to be safe and not have the fears that are being faced right now in the community.
The organization fundraises money to put towards scholarships for undocumented students and a fund for legal services. Other fears among the immigrant community is the fear of removal from the country. Santos' family is of mixed status, meaning that some members of her family are U.S. citizens and some are undocumented.
It's scary to think about, like, if my parents were deported or if my siblings were, then I would be, like, the one to take care of my younger siblings here.
Santos joined Undoco Hoosiers Bloomington in order to advocate for undocumented students to ensure they are getting the resources necessary to attend college and to graduate. Earlier in the spring, Undoco Hoosiers Bloomington hosted events for a week, calling it Undoco Students Week.
The main goal was really to bring awareness to these issues, to the issues that undocumented people face, not only like on campuses, but outside of the university.
The organization ended their week of awareness with a rally by the Sample Gates. At the end of the rally, they delivered a petition to the university with the request of a new staff position. As the school year closes, Santos hopes the goals of the organization remain the same.
I hope that we continue to push for Sanctuary Campus, or at least some type of statement from the university that says that they're supportive of undocumented students, and not just like brush it over like they have in recent emails.
Reporting for WFHB, this is Jessica Dela Cruz.
That story airs on WFHB as part of a partnership between WFHB and a community journalism class at the IU Media School.
Support for WFHB and the Daily Local News comes from Smithville Fiber, a local provider of internet, voice, and TV service, now also offering home automation and security systems for homes and offices throughout South Central Indiana. More information is available on Smithville's home automation service at smithvillesecurity.com.
Coming up next, WFHB's weekly community resources segment, Everyday People.
Don't mess around.
Welcome to Everyday People, improving the lives of older adults and people with disabilities in Monroe County.
Everyday resources for everyday people, connecting our community by sharing resources you need, want, and probably don't know about.
Today we have Janet DeLong here in the studio. Can you tell us about the Chronic Pain Support Group?
Sure. I'm a physical therapist and a life coach. This has been on my heart to do for a long time, mm-hmm. for years and years. And I just didn't really have time while I was working for the hospital. But in the last few years, in conjunction with the hospital community health department, mm-hmm. who has given a lot of support, I've been able to offer this chronic pain support group. It is a monthly group.
Okay.
For anyone with pain that just doesn't want to go away.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't really matter the source.
So it's not a specialized, you
no.
know, it's anyone who's dealing
yes,
with
you
this
don't,
issue.
Exactly.
Okay, wonderful.
You don't have to have a certain diagnosis
sure.
or a length of time of pain or
mm-hmm.
anything. It's just because pain really gets in the way of life. This group is designed for people to come together and have a safe place to come and share their stories. It's different when you're talking to somebody who has something similar going on.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
In our country, we think of pain as the problem. Originally, pain is just a sign that the body's trying to tell us that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But when, for lots of reasons, it just sort of gets in a cycle
mm-hmm.
and stays there no matter what. it feels like then the pain is the problem rather than just being the sign.
Uh-huh.
It takes so much energy just to do the small things of life.
What can somebody expect when they come to a meeting? Say it's the first time.
When people come the first time, there's a sign-in sheet. We will sit around a table. We'll start out with going around the table and everyone introducing themselves, talking about why we're here.
Mm-hmm.
That's enlightening. Although I always stress everybody's different about what they want to share.
Mm-hmm.
So I want people to only share what they feel safe sharing.
Sure.
Then I'll do a bit of education. I try to make that interactive, mm-hmm. get everyone's experience. Then we go around the table again and talk about what goals we might set.
Oh, nice.
They need to be reasonable goals.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, what I always tell people is if they didn't meet their goal from the past month, that just meant they had maybe too ambitious of a goal.
Mm-hmm.
We have hopes and dreams, and
sure.
we let those get in there.
What are some of the logistics? Like, when do you meet? Where do you meet?
So we meet the second Wednesday of every month.
Okay.
At Sherwood Oaks Christian Church from 1 o'clock to 2:30 in the afternoon.
Okay.
In their fireside room.
Okay.
It's not a faith-based group,
mm-hmm.
although people are welcome to talk about anything they want.
Sure.
So if that's what
it's
they...
It's just where it's hosted.
Exactly.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And want to mention that this is absolutely free.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Yes, and thank you to IU Health Community Health.
For sponsoring.
Exactly.
Presenting.
Mm-hmm.
So if people want to reach out to you or find out more, if they have specific questions, do you have a phone number that you could give out for people?
Yes.
Listeners?
Yes. They could reach me at 812-955-0770, or they could email me,
okay.
which is what a lot of people do, at delongwellness@gmail.com.
Okay.
So that's D-E-L-O-N-G. WELLNESS@gmail.com.
Okay, great. Janet, thank you so much for being here, and really thank you for, you know, getting this program up and running, and it's a wonderful resource for the community to access.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for joining us on Everyday People. Tune in next week for more information and resources that connect everyday people to everyday resources. For WFHB, I'm Courtney Stewart.
And I'm Stacey Goffinet.
You've been listening to the Daily Local News on WFHB. Today's headlines were written by Lindsay Jones and Jared Dill, along with Sarah Vaughn for Cats Week, a partnership with Community Access Television Services. Our feature was produced by Jessica De La Cruz.
Everyday People is produced by Courtney Stewart and Stacey Goffinet. Our engineer is Megan Wade. Our theme music is provided by The Impossible Shapes. Executive producer is Joe Crawford. For WFHB, I'm Leah Carter.
And I'm Don Guerra. Thanks for supporting Indiana's only volunteer-powered, listener-supported, independent daily news program. You can hear tonight's full broadcast, as well as all other WFHB news programming online at WFHB.org.
You can be a part of our award-winning news team. For more information about joining our volunteer team of citizen journalists, email news@WFHB.org.
If you use iTunes, you can have this show delivered directly to you. Just go to the iTunes store, search for WFHB Daily Local News, and subscribe to our podcast.
Stay tuned for Interchange, Bloomington Community Radio's longest-running public affairs program, coming up next on WFHB.